producing and selling at full capacity. So I think that our conservation of oil and gas is going to be with us for some time. I do think that that probably would be one of the first to go when we can relax.
Do you have any hard evidence to show that the limit is, in fact, saving gasoline when the indications are that very few people are observing the speed limit anyway?
Well, we don't think that very few are. I know there are exceptional cases, and there is impatience with it. I know that the Highway Patrol has increased by a solid percentage the number of tickets they're giving for speed violations. It's a little frustrating to them. At the same time, there's some pluses from it. Whether that or the reduced number of cars, we have a reduction in accidents and fatalities in the highways. Maybe a lot of people are better natured now when they're not pushing the pedal to the floor all the time. But the evidence as to the savings, it just can't help but be. I don't know whether our Energy Council can pinpoint any exact percentage. That would be difficult to do. How much of it is attributed to people that have eliminated wasteful driving? We should continue to eliminate that. But it is a fact that when you get out on the stretch where you can go, there's no question about the increased mileage that an automobile gets. Now, obviously, that 55-mile limit doesn't do anything about the very wasteful around-town driving where stop-and-go driving increases consumption of gas. But out on the freeway, we do know. I know of some instances of the span between Los Angeles and Palm Springs where people have found, and with larger cars, that they've saved as much as 3.5 gallons of gas over the previous use on just the one trip down.
Good deal. You wouldn't be in favor of abolishing, yet eliminating 55 miles.
No, I said I think this would be one of the earlier things to go, but I don't think we should give up any of the conservation practices as yet. Go back to our wasteful ways. I wouldn't want to make a prediction. I honestly don't know. I think we're going to have to see what happens, how much savings we are making, and when the additional oil begins coming, what the situation is.
Do you think the speed limit has created a disregard for traffic laws as the California Highway Patrol Commissioner?
Well, no. Traffic laws, as we know, and the violation of them has always been with us. There are always those who find some reason or excuse or this desire to violate them in one way or the other, whether it's fudging in the stop sign or going beyond the speed limit. I think there's some indication that even those who are violating them are violating them at a lower rate of speed. Their comparative speed to the 55, those who are observing the 55-mile limit, is not as great as when they're speeding above those who are going 65 miles an hour. I realize that to many people, a speed limit that is enforced for conservation measures to save gas probably doesn't seem as serious to them as a speed limit that is based on protection of life and limb.
That was my question.
Says the county chairman favor you ahead of all other possible Republicans for the nomination. Only once in 20 years, Mr. Gallup says, have they not picked the person who wound up to be the nominee. To what do you attribute your success?
I have any answer for that. All I can say is that I'm aware of that poll, and you bask in the warmth of approval by your fellow man, but nothing has changed the situation or what I told you before or my position. Far too early for that to be even anything that's thought about or anyone has to make a decision about it. So I look in the mirror and I console or I ease myself out of that warmth with the recognition that a poll is only as good as the day it's taken.
Ford, when he says, Vice President Ford, when he says that he's going to be through with public office in 1977?
Well, I know that this is very consistent with what he's been saying for some time, and it is a matter of family personal relationships that he is a pledge to his family, and I see no reason to doubt it.
Well, Governor, considering the poll of the county chairman and the statement by the vice president, does this come close to your concept of the office seeking the man?
Well, I would say that it would be, it made far more of an impression than if it were about a year and a half or 2 years from now. As I've said before, the difference is this is a long time to go, and therefore, while as I say, this is pleasant, and to think that there are people that think that highly of you, you don't make any decisions based on that.
If you were doing that well in the poll, or better, at the beginning of the 1976 primary, if you went before, would that persuade you to be a candidate?
Well, I'll let you know then or before. I've told you that there, I'll make a decision when and if I think circumstances warrant it, even making such one, you'll be the first to know.
You think your travels around the country have helped bring you up in the polls?
Well, I don't think they've been that widespread. They've actually haven't been that that much. I've been in several states, but one town in a state, speaking to one group of people in a banquet, hardly can be compared to going through the state and campaigning.
Does your trips around the country, do they interfere with your governing the state in any way?
No, and if they did, I wouldn't go. As a matter of fact, I turn down far more invitations than those I accept, and as I've said before, usually, most of the time, those invitations are tied to a trip that I have to make anyway, a legitimate trip, and then on the way in and on the way back, I accept such invitations as I can and as would fit the trip. But actually, if I were not interested in doing the job I'm doing, I could be gone every day. And I imagine that's true of most people in public office. Evidently, there are more opportunities to speak than there are speakers. And I've known even before I was a governor that your mail, if you said yes to every one of them, you could be out on the speaking circuit all the time.
It's been suggested that you're getting bored with the governorship.
Yes, I understand there's been such a suggestion. It's absolutely untrue. Matter of fact, I can't remember a day when I've ever awakened bored in the morning. I look forward to every day, and I have found this the most challenging and exciting thing I've ever done in my life. It still has that challenge and that excitement, and there are several things that I want to get done before my term is up. And anyone who thinks that just hasn't been paying very much attention.
What do you want to get done before your term is up?
Oh, there are some things, the recommendations of our task force on criminal justice that we want to get done in the field of law enforcement. There are still some things that I would like to get done with regard to the taxation, recommendations that I made in the state of the state address. We are reviewing now and studying the results of the task force on what might, if anything, can be done about eliminating duplication in all the local government and special districts that we have in the state. All of these things, very vital.
Can you tell us tell us the truth about the sales tax increase? Is it possible to put it off till June 1st?
Well, I think we would be taking a terrible risk if we did. As you remember, there was a great controversy. I had suggested that perhaps for the longer span, so that we wouldn't have the prices yo-yoing back and forth, that maybe that 1 cent should have been a half a cent for a year instead of 1 cent for 6 months. The legislature elected to make it 1 penny for 6 months. Now, this did not mean we could cut the tax by that amount. We cut it by replacing it with $300 and some million of the one-time surplus. That was a manner of rebating $320 million surplus of last year to the taxpayers. Now, the 1 penny that goes back on, and the 1 penny that we've had off for 6 months, is the penny that is already spent. It is committed to that extra reduction the homeowner gets in his property tax. That's the penny of sales tax that subsidizes a reduction in the homeowner's tax and renter relief. So it isn't a case of that it's $1.5 million that a week or a day, whatever it is, that we don't need. It's already committed to this property tax relief fund, and it has to go up. Now, to speculate this particular time, with the energy crisis that has increased unemployment and so forth, to speculate and guess at whether we can break even if we continue to think of a surplus in advance would not be wise. Right now, we have only envisioned about a $27 million leeway between a balanced and an unbalanced budget at the end of the fiscal year. Now, if we're lucky and there's an upturn in the economy, we could have more than that. But if we're unlucky and we've guessed wrong, $27 million in a $9.8 billion budget is just a speck in the on the glass.
So if the bill fell, if you roll it back 2 months, it does land on your desk by something.
Well, you know I never like to comment on anything of that kind, but as it stands now, I think that fiscal responsibility would dictate that I couldn't sign it. If the situation changes between now and then, if it ever gets to the desk, we'll look at it very seriously in light of the situation as we know it at that time.
Governor, the Department of Transportation is considering allowing trucks an excess 10% weight to save gas. Would you agree or approve of the Department of Transportation doing that?
Well, I know a study is going forth. I haven't seen it yet, but what this is about is to try and ease the problem for trucking lines that because of the lowered speed limit, now find that they're lowering the speed limit to save gas, but it takes longer to make the trip and the delivery, and they therefore may have to add trips. And this is what it's all about, is trying to ease their problem to give them temporarily the right to carry a heavier
load. Do you agree with that in light of the fact that the legislature has repeatedly turned that down on a safety basis?
Well, we ourselves have turned it down on a safety basis, but I haven't seen the study of the Department of Transportation yet. I'll look at that.
The trucking speed limit has always been 55 miles an hour. I haven't heard it before.
Well, I know they're supposed to have had their trucks set at the greatest efficiency, for that matter, also. But then why were all of the truckers, in fact, some of them, the independent truckers even striking, and among their many demands, for the imposition of this 55-mile speed limit on. Evidently, they haven't been going 55 miles an hour.
Breaking the law, do you have much sympathy for them?
I have no sympathy for lawbreakers.
Truckers in East
Includes anybody.
At the California Republican Assembly over the weekend, which endorsed Lieutenant Governor Reinecke, there was some talk that some of your supporters were working for a no endorsement. In other words, they were hoping that the assembly would not endorse anybody.
When you say my supporters, maybe people that have supported, I can assure you that there are people who have supported me in my past two campaigns who are chosen a variety of candidates to support in this primary. And at my urging, because I have told all of them that I am neutral, but they are free to go whatever way they want to go. And whatever strategy was being played at the convention with regard to endorsement or no endorsement, I don't know, but I'm quite sure that it goes on in every election.
Any kind of a strategy of no endorsement, is that right?
In what?
Your people had no part in any strategy down there trying to have no endorsement?
Well, when you say my people, why?
Your people, I mean the people around your administration.
Oh, no, because I've issued orders to the administration and to all of our people here that even though it seems like an invasion of their private rights, I'm afraid that they're going to have to be neutral, too.
Governor, if it looks like it's going to be a really bloody primary between Flournoy and Reinecke, this could wreck the Republican Party's chances of winning in November, would you then step in to endorse one or the other?
Well, I don't think that'll be necessary. You've got two men who are personal friends. You've got two men who have already shown up at fundraisers for legislative candidates together, co-sponsored them, you might say. They both pledged to observe the 11th commandment, and both have pledged that they will support the other if the other should be the victor in the primary. So I just don't anticipate any problem of that kind.
Governor, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled this morning that it's unconstitutional to keep a candidate off the ballot solely on the basis of a filing fee, and that an alternative must be provided for indigent people. Do you agree with that philosophy?
Well, I haven't seen the decision or the ruling, but I don't think anyone should be denied the right to run for say that anyone who wants to, maybe there should be some provision.
If you sign a bill, if it crossed your desk, did that affect?
I don't know. You asked me, and I made an answer on this thing, and maybe I made the same answer that almost anyone makes off their head, because we do, we don't want anyone denied a democratic right. I have to say I haven't given any study to the matter or the philosophy behind the filing fee. I suppose it was originally conceived to ensure that serious contenders would be the only ones who would make an effort to run. I'd like to study this and find out just what's back of this. And
signatures as a statement of seriousness and support.
Well, that might be something to look at. There might be some way around it. It's, I think this is, as I say, it isn't something that I've studied or thought about before, and I'd like to. There must be some way. On one hand, I don't want to see someone who legitimately wants to run denied the right to run because of a lack of a filing fee. On the other hand, if this came into being to prevent abuse of this, and maybe there is a substitute of the kind you suggested.
Governor, have you had a chance yet to study in detail those two recommendations by the Attorney General regarding the oil industry? The ones we talked about last week? You said you hadn't really had a chance to study them.
Two recommendations of last week.
Regarding Mr. Younger suggested that the big petroleum companies should divest themselves of the retail gasoline.
Oh, no, I actually haven't. I remember that, as I answered at the time, that they actually owned less than 10% of the outlets. We found that out when we asked them to open their stations on Sunday, and all of them cooperated, and we found that they don't make a very big dent. I think most people are confused and think that because the sign up there on the oil station is in the name of a particular brand of oil or gas, that their company owns. More than 90% are not. They're independent. And I haven't had a chance to look into that or even to talk to our Energy Council about it.
The state bar over the weekend, Board of Governors, recommended that the state commission judicial appointments be enlarged and revised to avoid future hassles left over the appointment of Justice Clark. Have you given that any consideration?
Well, as you recall, I asked for a constitutional change with regard to the appointment of judges and was unable to get it when I first became governor. We have employed a voluntary system that has taken the appointment of judges out of politics and has used not only the state bar board, but the local bar, the judiciary, and committees of laymen to ensure that we get men on quality and not on some political basis. And the system has worked very well. Now, maybe they're thinking ahead of what they'd want to do if somebody else is governor, or somebody else is going to be. But so far, the system has been working very well.
See any need for change?
Well, I haven't actually seen all that they've recommended here. I'd like to see that. I think there is a caution also that you don't want to go too far in then giving some particular group a power that the governor himself has given up voluntarily.
Going on now for some 3 weeks. What is your reaction to that situation, and can you say that you have any authority, that the state have any authority to do something about it?
No, I don't know of any authority that we have to do anything about it, but I can only repeat what I've said before. I do not believe that public employees have the right to strike. As a matter of fact, it is illegal. It is against the law. And I find it very disturbing. The teachers who are instructing our young people then set an example of choosing those laws that they will obey and those laws they will break.
Today.
Well, I'm going to come out of my office, and I'm going to go out the side door. I'm going to walk across the street, and I'm going to walk into the restaurant. Well, the picket, you're talking about the UPI picket line? Well, that's a picket line for UPI. The fact that they're in the same building that a restaurant is